we do want you to actually fill out the slip, which are over by the door, if you're coming up for public comment at the beginning or if it's related to a specific agenda item. And Spencer, are we good to go? Check in with Patty? Okay. I'm gonna call this meeting to order for Tuesday, September 7th. And Patty, will you please proceed with roll call?
Here.
Councilor Botello?
Here.
Councilor Goble?
Here.
Council President Hall?
Present.
Councilor Parker?
Here.
Councilor Jacoby?
Here.
Mayor Sawyer?
And he is excused this evening, and we've previously approved that.
Thank you.
All right, at this time, we'll move on to the Pledge of Allegiance. Please stand as you are able for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, and at this time we'll have the first of two opportunities for public comment. This one we're dewy-eyed and fresh-faced, and the one at the end of the meeting is a little more rugged, but this is for those who are providing public comment not on an item. Is there anyone who has public comment at this time? All right, and again, you are welcome to fill out a form if you are speaking on an item that we will be discussing and then turn it over to Patty at any time before that item is discussed. The next item is our proclamation, presentations or special recognitions. And I am looking to see if Laura Kimberly is in the audience, and I'm just not sure if I'm seeing Laura. Can I proceed?
Yeah, so just read the...
Okay, great. So this is a proclamation that is for the month of September, which is Library Card Sign Up Month. And this is a time when the Newport Public Library joins the American Library Association and libraries nationwide to remind parents, caregivers, and students that signing up for a library card is the first step on the path to academic achievement and lifelong learning. Since 1987, Library Card Sign Up Month has been held each September to mark the beginning of the school year. During the month, American Library Association and libraries unite together in a national effort to ensure every individual sign up for their own library card, especially children. Anyone here have a library card? Am I the only one? Oh, good, I'm seeing some people. Okay, awesome. Well, this is the end of that proclamation. The next item on the agenda is the consent calendar. Patty, will you please review the items to be moved and approved?
Approve the minutes of the regular meeting of August 2nd, 2021. Approve the minutes of the work session of August 16th, 2021. Approve the minutes of the regular meeting of August 16th, 2021.
Last one.
Ratification of the mayor's appointment of Fernando Garza to the Police Advisory Committee for a term expiring December 31st, 2022.
All right, any discussion points or any motion to approve the consent calendar?
Yeah, I'll move to accept the consent calendar for Tuesday, September 7th, 2021.
All right, moved by Councilor Parker, seconded by Councilor Goble. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion approved. The next item on the agenda is the first of two public hearings this evening. And this is and I'll turn it over to Patty to read the first item. And it's 6A.
Public hearing of potential adoption of ordinance number 2187 regarding food carts and resolution number 3930 establishing designated business vending areas.
Is there Patty, did you finish? I'm not sure if you finished. Okay, sorry, I got distracted by that. All right, so this time I need to read this script, which is standard form for this type of hearing. This is the time set for a public hearing on ordinance number 2187 related to the opening, to the operation of food trucks and food carts within the city limits. The ordinance amends chapter 4.10, 11.05, 12.15, 14.01, and 14.09 of the Newport Municipal Code, file number 1Z21. At this time, I would ask council members to disclose any actual or potential financial interest they may have related to this agenda item.
I just want to disclose I'm an architect in the community and I do work for the school district, so I don't think that puts me in a biased position, though. But I don't want to disclose that.
Any other conflicts of interest?
I just want to disclose I talked to one of the vendors from the carts, and 2 weeks ago I met him, and I just invite him to come tonight. And he didn't get the information. I just want to say that, but I don't have any problem with that.
All right. If anyone has if anyone present has an objection to the participation of any council member, please raise that objection now. This is a legislative hearing for the purpose of adopting or amending the city's comprehensive plan, map inventories, land use regulations, or other policy documents that affect the entire city or large portions of it. The City Council is required to hold one or more public hearings at which it will consider the Commission's recommendation and take public testimony before rendering a decision on the ordinance. There are a few announcements I need to make before we start the public hearing. One, all testimony and evidence submitted either oral or in writing must be directed toward the relevant issues. If any person believes that other issues apply in addition to those addressed to the draft ordinance, those issues must be discussed while the record is open, so during public testimony. Two, if you fail to raise an issue on the record supported by statements or evidence sufficient to give the city or other parties an opportunity to respond to the issue, you may be precluded from appealing on that issue to the Land Use Board of Appeals. And three, there are sign-up forms at the entrance to the hearing room to be filled out by anyone wishing to testify. And then please give those forms to Patty. When you are called to testify, state your name and address for the record, and please avoid repetitive testimony. You will also be timed, and I believe the timing device
is apparently missing. So
okay. We have phones. We can do this still. We'll improvise. During the hearing, I'll ask those in the audience to refrain from demonstrations in support or opposition of any testimony. And during the proceedings, we'll begin with a staff report, and after which testimony will be taken in the order received on the sign-up cards. All persons will be provided 3 minutes to provide comment. And now I'll turn it over to City Manager Spencer Niebel. Oh, and we might be getting that timing device.
Yes. Yeah, so unplug it and... Yeah, we are operating without a few key personnel tonight, so please bear with us. So, for the public hearing, the item that's before the council has been an issue that the council has identified as part of its goal setting session to review the city's current ordinance regarding mobile food carts within the city. The Newport Planning Commission and the Advisory Committee held 3 work sessions to review the existing regulations and model ordinance and identify changes to the regulations. Following this review, the Planning Commission formally initiated legislative amendment process at its May 24th, 2021 regular meeting. The current food truck ordinance is very restrictive, making it difficult to find a location that can legally have a food cart on private property, and requires food trucks in the right-of-way to move every 15 minutes. In addition, vending can occur at several specific locations on the on public property in the city. These locations have been minimally used and are not located in areas that work well for that purpose. The current ordinance provides that temporary vending carts on private property must be located in commercially zoned property that is at least a half mile from a permanent eating and drinking establishment. This type of regulation effectively eliminates most locations that would be appropriate for this type of use. The proposed ordinance addresses both the use of public property and private property for mobile food units. Mobile food units would be allowed on public property and streets in commercial and industrial areas for up to 2 hours, except for Nye Beach and the Bayfront, where they would be limited to designated vending areas. The vending areas would be set up separately by the council by resolution. This would allow those areas to change from time to time based on the needs that are currently in existence and as determined by the council. Mobile food units would be required to have all necessary permits from the city or health authorities and have liability insurance meeting the city's standards. Mobile vendors would be required to move every 15 minutes in residential areas and would be prohibited from operating within 500 feet of schools. Licenses for designated vending areas on public property would be issued on a first-come, first-served basis, except that the priority will be given to existing operators that are renewing their licenses. Vending will also continue to be allowed as part of the approved special events permit. Vending on property or on private property would be allowed in commercial, industrial, and water-related zoned areas with property owner consent, subject to a temporary use permit. Applicants would need to be licensed by the health department. If four or more mobile food units are located on a single property, the development becomes a mobile food unit pod, subject to additional standards, which would include connecting to water and sewer, permanent power, and the provision of a shelter for outdoor seating, restroom facilities, and lighting. The same 500-foot restriction from schools would be included on private property. Any mobile food vending on private property in Nye Beach or the Bayfront would be required to operate from a permanently established pods due to the current congestion in these areas. There has been extensive discussion on whether or not food carts should be prohibited within the 500 feet of schools, and this has been a request that has come from the Lincoln County School District regarding issues relating to their food programs and truancy in the school district. Finally, it was suggested at the work session to allow food carts at large residential construction sites in residential zoned areas. So they would normally be prohibited from those locations, but there is a provision that's been added to the agreement that would allow that for a large project, and a large project is 10 or more residential units being constructed. A food cart would be allowed to provide food services to the construction workers in that area. If the ordinance is passed as recommended, the council will then need to consider a resolution establishing business vending areas on public property and rights of way within the city of Newport. Proposed resolution number 3930 provides for vending on public property. Under the resolution, there is a provision that would allow fixed stands, not mobile food carts, at the Nye Beach turnaround and also Hatfield Drive with three licenses at both of those locations. Designated business areas for mobile stands are limited to marked public parking spaces with a two-hour limit in the Bayfront and Nye Beach districts, with a resolution indicating that four licenses would be available in the Bayfront and the same number in Nye Beach district. Again, the resolution would be set by the council if the ordinance is approved, and again, the council could revisit those numbers and those locations from time to time. Again, the materials are attached to this item, and I'd ask if Community Development Director Derek Tokos has anything else to add before we open it up for the public hearing.
Thank you, Derek Tokos, Community Development. I'd like to first just acknowledge some testimony that came in today, so that's up for record. We received an email from Wendy Angler asking that the council not adopt the 500-foot buffer from the schools. We received an email and letter from Zach Poole Pig and Pancake, objecting to the proposed ordinance and its potential impact to their business. Then received a correspondence from the school district, Benedict Leisenmeyer, who's their attorney, I believe he's here tonight, submitted a letter on the district's behalf. And then there were letters from Andrea Langliers, Kim Kuzik, and Jamie Nicholson with the school district, all of which are supporting the 500-foot buffer requirement. I would only add, I think Spencer did a nice job of providing an overview of what's in this package of amendments. I think it's very important that as testimony comes in, to the extent to which folks in the audience are providing testimony as it relates to what's allowed on private property versus what's allowed on public property, that's a pretty significant distinction in this ordinance. With respect to public property, I would add that there is language in here that would prohibit a food truck from operating in front of an existing restaurant. That's something that Zach and I had a chance to talk about briefly today. It's not something that's emphasized in the materials, but it is clearly something we put in that code for that reason. I just want to make sure you were aware of that provision. You know, outside of that, I think I will refrain from providing further testimony, but am happy to answer questions as this goes along.
Okay. At this point, I'd like to open the public hearing on ordinance number 2187, an ordinance regarding food carts, and the resolution number 3930, a resolution establishing designated business vending areas in the city of Newport. And at this point, I'm going to begin with the public testimony. I'll call up two people at a time so you can take both of those seats. You just want to make sure that the red light is on in front of you, and you don't have to press the button if it is. And we'll just call two at a time. The first two, Kim Cusick and Karen Gray.
And by the way, the timer is now functional.
Great. Woo-hoo. And either of you can begin.
Thank you for hearing us tonight. I just want to read my letter that I submitted today.
Will you just introduce yourself first again?
I will, thank you. My name is Kim Cusick. I'm the Business Services and Food Services Director for Lincoln County School District, and a lifelong resident of Lincoln County. I would like to thank the Newport Planning Commission for upholding our position that food trucks and carts should not be allowed to operate within 500 feet of a school during school hours. This decision supports our position that food trucks and carts can provide exciting new business opportunities for the city's residents and visitors. However, that should not come at the expense of our most precious resource, our children and grandchildren. Allowing food trucks or carts, and especially pods, to operate close to a school during school hours provides a potentially dangerous exposure to a population of adults who may have mental health, drug, and other issues. The proposed new food pods will require bathroom facilities. If a food pod is located near Newport High School in particular, it will likely attract the homeless population that's currently residing around the nearby Starbucks and in the camps nearby on Highway 20. We can see this happening wherever there are public restrooms in this city. I saw it when my office was uptown on the corner of Highway 101 and 9th Street, just a couple of blocks from here. The nearby public restrooms and the feeding sites attracted a population of mentally ill and drug addicted adults that made me afraid to go to my car at night and even during lunch during the day. And it caused us to call the police on many occasions. Is this the atmosphere that we want to create for our children while they're in school? I don't want our children to have to be afraid while they're in school or to be challenged by an adult with mental health issues or approached by any other adult who may have ill intentions. We're charged with the protection of our children when they're in our care during school hours. Newport's parents expect that we will do everything within our power to keep their children safe. They expect you to help us keep them safe with reasonable rules such as this policy. Aside from the safety issue, it will create an attractive distraction to our students who need to be in school, learning the skills needed to be productive adults with a healthy future in our economy. Truancy, especially after lunch, has always been a problem in Newport High. It was a problem when I was at Newport High. There will always be those students who have trouble returning after lunch on an open campus. However, the added attraction of another place to gather directly across the street from the high school will only exacerbate the issue. I haven't even touched on the nutritional quality of the meals that would likely be served compared to the healthy, well-rounded meals these students can receive free in our school cafeterias. There's simply no comparison. You've been provided materials which speak to this issue that were provided to the Planning Commission. You can see that many of the largest cities in the nation do not allow food trucks and carts near schools for these reasons and more. Encourage the council to put the welfare of our children above economic interests and to maintain the 500-foot restriction during school hours. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening, City Council members, Mr. Tokos and Mr. Niebel. I'm Karen Fisher Gray, Superintendent of the Lincoln County School District. Thank you for listening to my testimony and the testimony of many others tonight. My testimony tonight is in reference to the proposed change in Newport Municipal Code Chapter 4.10, specifically 4.10.035, which states no vendor shall vend within 500 feet of the grounds of any elementary or secondary school during the period commencing 1/2 an hour prior to the start of the school day and ending 1/2 an hour after the dismissal at the end of the school day. In your proposed change, food carts would be allowed to vend at our schools during school hours. We in the Lincoln County School District vehemently disagree with this change and hope that you will vote with the Newport Planning Commission against this change. There are many reasons. We are considering a closed high school campus for grades 9 and 10 next year in Newport High School. There is an area directly across from the street from our cafeteria which has been proposed as a food cart area. It would be extremely difficult for us to monitor students under our care when a food cart is right across the street from the high school and we are closing campus for half of the students. The same would be true for parking a food cart next to Newport Middle School, which is already a closed campus. Our attendance rates at Newport High School are low. We are working hard on attendance. Kids skip school after lunch, and that's why we want to close campus. Food carts across from our campus give kids one more reason to not come back. The already difficult traffic flow off 3rd Street by Newport High will be exacerbated by having food carts available next to our high school. It is already hard enough to control the traffic there. This makes it worse, and then it truly becomes a safety problem for our kids. We have one of Oregon's highest per capita rates of student homelessness in Lincoln County. Our USDA ODE food service program depends upon student participation in order to receive adequate federal reimbursement to break even and allow us to continue serving free meals to all students in Lincoln County. Last year, we served over 1 million meals. We are a district-wide program, and any drop in service numbers from any school subtracts from our numbers and therefore our ability to provide free food to our kids. Food carts have the potential to do that. Finally, is it safe to have food carts right next to our high school or middle school or elementary school? We try very hard to keep our children safe. Can you vouch for the people that will go to the food carts across the street from our schools and hang out there while kids are there? I can't. We have enough to deal with within our school district coming back after 18 months of COVID. This is not a welcome change for anyone in Lincoln County School District. Please do not change this rule. Thank you for your time.
Thank you both. I'd like to call up Jamie Nicholson and Raina Mattson next. Please come forward.
Thank you for hearing me tonight. My name is Jamie Nicholson, and I'm the Child Nutrition Program Manager for the Lincoln County School District. I'm responsible for maintaining a nonprofit program under USDA and the Department of Education's Child Nutrition Guidelines. Beyond this, I am extremely passionate about feeding children. I put my whole heart into my job every day. Lincoln County School District participates in every USDA food program available, offering free breakfast, lunch, snack, and supper daily to our students. During COVID-19, with the use of USDA waivers, we've extended these services to all community children ages 1 through 18 in Lincoln County. We serve over 1 million meals. We serve 3 meals a day, 7 days a week, and we've been recognized by the state with our efforts during COVID-19.
Have you ever seen a child return from spring or winter break with notable weight loss? I have. Have you ever seen a child take multiple servings of green beans because they know they won't eat again until they return to school the next day, and that's what we have left on the offering bar? I have. Have you listened to a grandmother raising her grandchildren explain how grateful she is that the free meals provide her the opportunity to pay her power bill? I have. All three of these examples come from Newport families. Our kids need these programs. Kids are easily distracted. Should the council go against the planning committee's recommendation, you will be providing one more distraction for these, for them to overcome. Do I think the kids will actually eat the truck food? Some may, but many Lincoln County children come from high poverty households. It is more likely these kids will go hang out and not eat at all, passing up a free healthy meal that is only a few short feet away. Kids don't always see the importance in eating three meals a day, and peer pressure to be cool is quite the motivator. Those kids will come back to school and be irritable and pay little attention in class because that's what happens when you don't eat. They will probably never connect the two, but we will know. Their success in school will suffer. I urge you to side with the Planning Commission's recommendation and limit the operation of food trucks and carts within 500 feet of our schools to outside of school hours. Show our families that our youth matter and the people who fight for them matter as well. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Raina Mattson, and I'm the principal at Newport High School. And I want to start by thanking the Planning Commission, who heard testimony from multiple people, and for you tonight for hearing us again. And I am happy to hear that the current ordinance does have that 500 feet in place, and I hope that that continues. And I'm hoping, I'm hopeful that all of you tonight value student safety and will vote in line with that Planning Commission's recommendation. As educators, we're in the business of educating students and providing a safe space for them to learn and grow. As we celebrated our first day of school today, we did it. It was just a reminder of how important this is. We're focusing on rebounding this year. It's been a rough 18 months. And it was so exciting to see the cafeteria full of kids today. It was packed with our brand new cafeteria. We're still waiting on a few tables, but it looks beautiful, and we do encourage you, when we're allowed to have visitors, for you to come and see the space, because we're trying really hard to make it a space that they want to be. As a school staff, we have many concerns about allowing mobile food carts to park on the streets by campus and a plan to build that permanent mobile food cart court directly across the street from our cafeteria on 3rd Street. My job is to ensure student safety, and having the food trucks within 500 feet will not support that goal. So just a few concerns, you've heard them all before, but monitoring students with visitors so close to campus, the impact of our food program that not only follows the healthy food requirements and free meals, but truly provides an equitable space for all students. Parking next to the school is already a challenge if you've come to visit, and especially during that lunchtime. And we have a variety of safety concerns with trying to teach everyone to drive slow in a speed in the school zone during that lunchtime. I'm concerned about the possibility of alcohol being served so close to campus, if food trucks are allowed to do that, and the truancy piece that you've heard from several people tonight. It truly takes a village to raise our students, and we're really hopeful that you join us in being part of our village. So thank you.
Thank you. The next up, Linsmeyer and John Stone. Some of this is handwriting. I'm sorry if I'm not saying it accurately.
All right, good evening, City Council, Council members, Linsenmeyer. That was very, very close, better than most people do. I'm here not to repeat the information that you've heard, but rather to correct some misunderstandings about what we really want from this program. So the Lincoln County School District, we are totally fine with food carts in the Newport area. As this ordinance stands, it would allow for food carts to be within 500 feet of schools 365 days a year, so long as it's not during school hours. That means that if a new fish and chips shop wants to sell fish and chips at swim meets right across the street, awesome. If there is a new ice cream cart that decides to open up shop and they want to sell ice cream at football games, great. We are totally in support of food carts. What we're not in support of is having them have the ability to target our children over the lunch hours during school. We think that this is a terrible idea for all the reasons you've already heard: truancy, stranger issues, traffic concerns, nutrition, not just in the poor quality of the nutrition that would be in the food cart food itself. I'm not sure where the misconception came from that food carts serve healthy food, but if you would direct your attention to, I believe it's Exhibit 7 in the materials that I submitted to the Planning Commission. I don't know if they've reached you yet, but there's quite a lengthy report from experts in the area listing how food cart food tends to be unhealthy. There are currently no standards in place that the city would impose on the food being sold outside the high school. And if you think about it from an entrepreneur's perspective, it makes a lot of business sense to sell low-cost, unhealthy snacks to a target audience, which is captivated inside of one building for 8 hours a day, when that audience already has poor impulse control. I don't think there is a good reason to allow for food carts within 500 feet of the schools. We believe 500 feet is an appropriate compromise in this situation. Some cities tend to go up to 1,500. Some cities go down as low as 300. We think with the total expansion of food carts in this entire town that there are many better places where the city council can direct tourists to go by passing ordinances which only allow food carts in safe, reasonable areas. By passing ordinances that prioritize the health, safety, and welfare of our children who will become our citizens, who will someday sit where you're sitting right now. You've heard from the experts, at least a few of them. You're going to hear from a few more on why the proposal of the Planning Commission just makes sense. Thank you.
Thanks.
Hello, Council. Thank you for the time to present to you tonight. My name is John Stone. I'm actually not a Lincoln County resident. I live in Salem, Oregon, but I've been coming over here for the past 15 years to support the team here. I'm the district manager for Sodexo, and I support over 20 districts in the state of Oregon, and I have 30 years experience in K-12 child nutrition. I was also previously a food service director at Medford School District and Salem-Kaiser School District, so I do have on-the-ground experience as well. Your district's child nutrition program, including Newport High, depends on the half hour for breakfast and maybe an hour during lunch to serve the meals needed to support their program and provide the nutrition our students need to learn. Newport High does not have the ability to serve customers after hours or on weekends, just that 255 hours in an entire year to generate the meals needed to cover the program's expenses, including the employees' wages and benefits. By law, child nutrition programs must operate on a cost-neutral basis. And any shortfalls must come from the district's general fund, and that's the fund that funds teachers and instruction. We do not want to take any money from teachers and instruction to fund this food service program. This makes it even more critical to do everything possible to encourage students to stay on campus during meal periods. So think about that for a moment. 255 hours, that's 170 school days, about an hour and a half a day, out of a total of 8,760 hours in a calendar year to pay the bills. I feel that the remaining 8,000 plus hours in the calendar year are sufficient for other operations to serve the local community, including food carts. Also concerning is the nutritional content of what the students may receive outside of the district's child nutrition programs. The district's required to follow very strict nutrition guidelines, and it is difficult for our low-fat turkey pepperoni pizza on a whole wheat crust to compete with what they're serving in the food carts. So school districts have made so much progress over the past decade to help improve the eating habits of students in the communities they serve. We don't want to take any steps backward. I fully support the idea of food carts, as many people in this room do, as they provide the communities with nice, relaxing places to get a variety of foods in one central location. But I do share their concern in regards to food cart pod, in regards to student safety, child nutrition and just don't think it's the right thing to do. So thank you.
Thank you. I have two more folks who have submitted public testimony, and then we will close the public hearing after these folks, unless you want to submit your testimony form. The last two folks I'll call up are Susanna Montague and Zach Poole.
Go ahead. No, they've heard me talk a million times.
I'll call you first.
Okay. Good evening. Thank you for another opportunity to address the City Council. My name is Susie Montague. I'm hoping to open a fish and chips fixed stand food trailer using local albacore tuna. I do not plan to be located near a school, and I support the 500 feet restriction on them near schools during school hours. Food carts can be found in every other tourist destination in Oregon, including the coast. I hope Newport can soon join them in their success. I'd like to quickly address the three main concerns raised by opponents during the Planning Commission's first public hearing. Though somewhat hard to discern, I believe they were improper trash disposal, a fear that food carts would not contribute financially to the city, and unfair competition with restaurants. For the waste disposal issue, I don't think there is anyone here who does not want to see trash properly disposed of. With strict regulations from the county and now from the city, and with this as a common goal between us, I believe we will be adequately prepared should an issue ever arise. For the idea that food carts won't contribute as much financially to the city as a restaurant, food carts will still have to be licensed. They will still have to pay for any utilities they use, still have to buy food, supplies, and will still have to provide a clean and safe food production environment. To operate a fixed stand, as I hope to, I will also have to pay a lease like most restaurants. Food carts will also be subject to the same taxes that restaurants are subject to. As far as food carts creating unfair competition with established restaurants, food carts and restaurants are successfully coexisting in every other tourist destination in Oregon. From along the coast in Astoria, Lincoln City, Waldport to Brookings to Portland, Bend, Eugene, and Ashland, Newport is the only city in which there aren't food carts and brick and mortar restaurants both finding success. Tourist season in Newport is lasting nearly year-round. I've been a server here for 5 years, and I know many others. I consistently hear of and experience record numbers, very little slowdown in the off-season, fully booked reservations, and having to limit group sizes. Are these not the signs that there's room for another dining option? To continue to prohibit food carts in Newport would be a missed opportunity. Food carts offer Newport the opportunity to stay relevant, to uplift young families wanting to start businesses and find success here, while also contributing to our vibrant food scene. This summer, I was given the opportunity to meet with the Planning Commission while they drafted these ordinance changes. I think they've come up with a very well thought out plan. Thank you again for all your time.
Yep. Hi, Zach Poole, Pig and Pancake. As Derek mentioned earlier, I talked to him today on the phone, and one of the issues, there's two things really. I've submitted some testimony. Maybe you will be kind enough to read it. I'd appreciate it if you would. two main things that I object to in regards to this. First off, the one that really surprised me was the public property, including streets. So when I think about Pig and Pancake and we're trying to operate a successful business there, and I probably don't have time to tell you the stories of trying to live through the pandemic with high fixed overhead cost month after month, trying to survive. I really think about somebody, we're advertising, we're trying to attract people to this area and to our spot. And a lot of that advertising is local advertising and affects a lot of people. To have a food cart pull up and park right beside your restaurant for 2 hours. And so you call code enforcement, you go, hey, you know, they've been there for more than 2 hours. And to literally have them back up one parking space, and so you go, okay, that's legal. Now you've been there for 2 hours. Okay, I'm gonna move back to the other one. And you know they're gonna have a spotter with them and a cone, and they can just move back and forth. And I mean, if you guys think that restaurants can survive the recession that comes every winter without a profitable summer, that public parking, public street issue is a completely separate item than a food cart pod, in my mind anyways. So, you know, I don't want to just sit here and, you know, I can't stand food carts, blah, blah, blah. No, what I'm saying is that is a real cause for concern. And what's even worse is that could be one food cart. You could have four more. The way this is written, we could have six food carts surrounding the premises of the part of our property. So we're generating, you know, we're fixing our parking lot. We're paying tens of thousands of dollars in property taxes, and all of a sudden we've got four or five food carts surrounding our property. We've got a waiting line. Now we've got our parking getting used by food cart customers going to food carts that are standing there. They'll probably be so bold as to come over and use our outdoor seating as well, because we don't have the staff to staff it that day. And we've had that happen in plenty of other locations with food carts. So I just think that really needs to get considered. I think that you ought to treat the city center, and I talked to Derek about this today and mentioned that City Center Newport should get treated the same as Bayfront and Nye Beach. Why is City Center not getting treated the same as Newport, as the Bayfront and Nye Beach? I mean, that's a great question.
I'm going to ask you to wrap your comments up because we are over the time.
I'll wrap my questions up. Or I'll wrap my comments up. We spent Spencer, right before you got here, we spent $150,000 in systems development fees to put that restaurant in, payable to the city of Newport. $150,000. I've got some blood, sweat, and tears into this. I was here when the government...
We do have your public comment, but we...
Oh, no, I appreciate that. I was here when the government was trying to take away some of the car dealerships and wrote letters in support. I mean, we've looked out for each other over the years. This, as it's written, is very irresponsible in regards to the public property, including streets. Please treat the city center the same as you would treat Nye Beach and the Bayfront. Appreciate it.
Thank you. All right. Patty, are there other public comments that have come in, or public folks on this matter?
No, not that I know of.
Okay. We will close the public testimony portion, and we'll now turn it over to the city council. And I do want to acknowledge that Councilor Jacoby is a part of our city council and is participating remotely by phone. And so now we'll turn it over to the council for questions and discussion.
I have a question.
Councilor Goble.
So Derek, you mentioned, or the ordinance mentioned, that you said that in that ordinance there was a reference to being close to restaurants. Could you explain that a little bit?
Yes, specifically I was referring to the rules that would apply to food carts or food trucks that are operating within public rights of way or on public property. So these are the provisions in chapter 4 that are in your ordinance. There's a provision in here that talks about they're prohibited from doing certain things, one of which, I'll just read it verbatim, sell food or beverages for immediate consumption along rights of way or public property that front an eating or drinking establishment. And then it goes on to talk about a couple other things there. And so in the context of Pig and Pancake, which is where you just receive some testimony, that would prohibit a food cart or truck from parking adjacent to Pig and Pancake on that side of Alder Street where we have the angled parking. And it would prohibit parking to the extent that it's available on street on 9th Street, which also abuts that property or fronts that property. And I don't believe we have public parking, or if we do on 101, I think it's just beyond that. I'm trying to visualize that, but that would also be prohibited if there's any on-street parking along 101 at that location.
Could they park in the armory?
That's public property. That's a separate parcel. Mm-hmm. Let me just take a dumb look at this again one more time. That's probably problematic as well, because it says rights of way or public property that front an eating or drinking establishment. That's public property. That would be an issue as well.
So what would be the enforcement of that? How would a person, if somebody went in there, what would be the process for a complaint, or how is that policed?
Well, that's typically going to be on a complaint basis. You know, certainly if we had a code enforcement compliance officer who was out and observed it and recognized it as a violation, I'd expect that they would address it. But typically that comes in as a complaint, and then they go and check it out.
Okay, so the restaurant owner would have to be proactive if they saw a food cart out there?
Correct.
And then there's a number that they could call and...
Correct.
And then that person and the police or somebody would respond and ask the person to leave?
Yes, and ask that they move along.
Okay, thank you.
Councilor Parker.
I actually have a couple questions for the school district. I'm not sure who wants to answer these, but one is for you to clarify for the council what the current county and city of Newport, the schools that are in the city, what is your open campus policy? I don't think that was addressed. And then how would you characterize the food sold at the Cubs Cave? And then I'd like to see some data on the truancy issue. So those are my questions on that.
I don't know that I have exactly what you need in front of me, but a few things. Elementary schools are closed. And in fact, if a student leaves, there's some code drills that we do to get them back on campus. Middle school as well. High school currently is open campus. It's been open campus. I've been there, this is my 21st year. I was also a student there, and it's been open as far as long as I can remember.
Okay, so that means freshmen through seniors have open lunch, is that correct?
That's correct.
I'm just trying to understand
currently
where you're coming from.
Yep, currently 9th grade through 12th.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and where do the students, based on your experience, go for lunch now?
For the 2021-22 school year?
No, like in your experience, where do they walk to? What businesses do they go to? Do you have any idea of the pattern?
Yeah, typically it would be anywhere to like JC Market, Hardick Circle, Starbucks, Oscars, kind of in that range if they're walking. Mm-hmm. Obviously a lot of people drive too.
Okay. So there was an issue. Somebody brought up a couple of people that came here, and I appreciate the testimony. They focus on the nutrition. So as it stands, the current locations and local businesses that these students are supporting now and their lunch periods, some but not all, I guess I'm not convinced that the nutrition thing is that different from where they're going now. Do you see my point?
Yeah. I mean, I would say that most of our students are staying on campus. We have some that leave. The problem that we have is the students that are, I mean, I guess it's two different things. If we're talking truancy, it's the students that are leaving. And I don't know how many of you have tried to walk to Arctic Circle and back and eaten, but doing that in a half an hour is really difficult. So we often have students that get distracted when they leave campus. Mm. So we're trying to look at ways we can close our campus for at least our younger grades to do that. If you're talking nutritionally, we are doing a lot of work to make our cafeteria a place that students want to be. We've done extensive remodeling so that students want to be there and eat the nutritious food. We no longer have the Cubs Cave across the street, which was often, kind of an easy way for students to drink rock stars for lunch, which happened often. And so we're trying really hard to get students to eat healthy and eat, because often we'll have students walk with friends somewhere and then they don't have the money to go and actually purchase at one of those restaurants, but they go with their friends and then they don't have enough time to actually eat one of the meals at school. So we actually provide several second chance options at Newport High to try to help those students that maybe aren't making good choices but still need to eat.
So if you were to pick a number, is the number of upperclassmen or high school students generally that go off campus now, what percent do you think it would be, just out, off the top of your head, like 10%, 20%, half?
Honestly, I don't know how to even estimate that.
Because the scale of the 500-foot setback is, I guess, is my concern. I'm wondering how many people go out now, like what percentage of people are going off campus now, and then if that setback were to be in place or not, like how many more? I just kind of want to hear the schools just weigh in on that, because it's important for us to know, like by allowing food carts, is it going to be is the entire campus going to go out if they're allowed? Or, I mean, it seems unlikely that the pattern of people that want to go off campus now is going to change if the food carts were down the street or somewhere else in town that they could walk to.
I'll weigh in on that. I would disagree with that, because now you're making it even easier. So maybe you had 10, 15% that was going off campus, walking or driving, and now it's 500 feet across from the school. To me, that makes it far more attractive, a much more attractive nuisance for students. So even students that weren't thinking about going off campus, now all I have to do is walk out a door in 500 feet and go out there, and maybe I'll come back and maybe I won't. So I think it provides far more attractive nuisance quality as far as that goes. I think it adds to our truancy issues, and I don't understand why we would do that.
Or you could say they get back quicker because they only have to go 500 feet, not all the way to Arctic Circle.
But they
Circle.
Don't. They don't. What
you
about
don't know
the cupcake?
That. You have no data to prove that. So
I'm, no, I'm that's just, what we're hoping for data, yeah, so we can understand this like scientifically. And
I would just, I think he's asking good questions, and let's stick to facts and not just sweeping generalizations, because I'll be honest. Sorry to step on your questioning,
ahead.
But the rather verbose, borderline aggressive early out from the school district was almost more harmful than helpful, in my opinion, when I was trying to learn about this and read on it. I don't want to touch the free lunch and negatively impact that at all, but I know we've asked for data on that as well as the Planning Commission, which I haven't made it through the 614 pages of information yet, but I didn't see that in there. But I think the testimony today was very compelling and very concise and to the point, and I think that would have been a better lead out as opposed to the, I don't know, the very moralistic and a bit expansive approach that came out of the gate, so.
Sure, and I appreciate that. I'm glad that we could eventually present in a way that spoke to you more directly. It's difficult for a lot of members of the school district to not get so invested in a change like this when they've dedicated their careers and their lives to doing the best they can for these kids. It becomes a very, very hot button issue for them. And as to specific data that you're asking for, I direct you to Exhibit 7 in that monster of a document that I submitted regarding preventing childhood obesity. Unfortunately, in scientific literature, there is not a lot that says a food cart appearing outside of a high school will have this exact effect, right? There really isn't a lot of scientific data that's presented on that issue. I could speculate as to why that is, but what we can say for certain is that having a more attractive nuisance right across the street where your friends go over there for lunch, do you want to go with them? You might not have wanted to go if they go all the way down to Arctic Circle. That's kind of a walk. But if they're just going across the street, what's the problem with that? And after you go across the street, oh yeah, one of them got the new Halo game. Let's go over to his house real quick. It's that easy. None of these issues are very cut and dry.
I get it, but do you see where that extrapolation, you kind of went down a rabbit hole pretty far there? And I think, you know, some of the facts that were asked by the Planning Commission and we reiterated at our last meeting was how many, if you lose X number of students to food carts from your meal program, how many can you lose before you impact the free meal program? That's a fact, that's hard data, because to me, that alone could have shut down the whole concept. I mean, if somebody said, if I lose 50 kids, we can't offer free meals to the whole district, that would be amazingly compelling information. And we've asked for it, and so did the Planning Commission. I haven't seen it. So those are the kinds of things I personally, I can't speak for Ryan, but that's more what I would like to see. And again, the testimony today was excellent, as well as your letters, which I read. If I could add just one piece,
Newport High's always had a hard time because we're in the middle of a city with food places around. The rest of the district has carried us food program-wise for as many years as I have been part of the district. So we are always just that one or two kids away from losing it for Newport High. Now, that doesn't mean for other people. We've been really lucky that the district has qualified for the community eligibility provision program, something like that, where we can actually provide free breakfast and lunch for all students regardless, because at the high school level, those kids do not fill out that form that says they're qualified. And so kids that are eligible don't receive those services. At the elementary level, when their parents are filling out that form and they're doing it, they do, but the high school level struggles all the time to meet that anyway. Well, and so
I would say having free for all is, you know, I'm no longer high school age, but I remember enough about the stigma for like reduced, that if everyone's free, then you don't have that. And I think that's extremely valuable. And again, I'm not sure I'm 100% in agreement with keeping the 500 foot, but I'm also not going to make an issue of it because I really don't want to mess with that. So
I'm going to jump in here because there's a couple of counselors in the queue. Councillor Goble, Councillor Mateo Salgado, and then Councillor Parker.
Apologies for just jumping in.
Do you want us to sit or do you want us to stay?
I'm not certain if their comments are related to you.
I'm going to stick around just in case.
Okay.
So yeah, I think you're in a hot seat, so that's good. Yeah, I don't really understand what the problem is, guys. You know, it seems like the school district is coming to us and saying, we've got a problem. We want, if we have food carts there, it's going to be a problem for us. So as a city, I think it would be in our interest to support that effort. I'm surprised we do have an open campus. Myself, you know, when I was in high school, God, that was some...
4 years ago, years ago.
Long time ago. It was a closed campus, you know. And we did have a high spot, what's called high spot across the street, like you have here, which is now no longer there. But we weren't allowed to go there, you know, we had to eat at the cafeteria.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't see the problem. 500 feet isn't going to make an impact on the food cart business in our community. I don't think there's other places that food carts are more appropriate. And so I'm really in the court of the school district. If you're telling me that that's what you want, I think as a city we should support that effort. You know, so what else was I going to say? So anyway, that's. I mean, you go to the next one.
Councilor Mateo Salgado, and then Councilor Parker.
I just want to say I totally understand the importance. You know, I work with a lot of families, you know, and I know that some of the families, they had one meal that day, and they struggle, you know. I have little ones, and I use free meals too, and I totally understand the dynamics, you know. When you have a homeless population, when you are struggling to keep meals in the schools, it's not easy. But I also believe there's also opportunities to, you know, to collaborate maybe in the future with the food trucks or maybe with innovative ideas with the high schoolers to have their own food trucks, you know, and open a business just in the school. I think there's always opportunity for that. And I want to say... I don't remember your name, sorry.
You're fine.
Sorry. So I want to say I grew up where, you know, ethnicity, you know, food, ethnic foods that are very important. When kids recognize foods that are friendly, and they know there are out there, probably they're gonna look for those. And you know, I'm glad the USDA is making a lot of changes with their foods, because you know, kids will eat what they have or that are familiar in their homes. So I think it opens an opportunity to work with food carts, and not all the foods from food carts that are unhealthy. I wanna go back to you, because you know, they offer fruits, they offer opportunities, tacos that are not unhealthy. You can look for tacos that are healthy, or any other hamburgers or anything, you can make it healthy. So I just feel like it's very important, you know, to recognize this part that, you know, foods that are at the school that are ruled, and I recognize that, you know, that are ruled. But also I wanna ask about, this is a question for Derek, the 500 feet, and that's my concern, is only for food carts or also restaurants?
That applies to food carts and food trucks. That does not apply to a brick and mortar if it were to be established on a commercial property within the 500-foot distance.
Okay. Yeah, I was kind of wondering about it, because that can be a problem in the future if we have the 500 food there and we are not able to have a restaurant or a service close to school. It's private. It's private property there. So I just want to follow up on that.
All right, Councillor.
May I respond?
Sure, yep.
So I think you're absolutely right that this is a new opportunity where the school system can work either with established food cart providers or to make their own food cart. In my research, I found a few different high schools that already had issues with food carts in the area, and they created a sort of home ec shop mash together, which taught a lot of important life skills. And that's something we're absolutely willing to look into. What we're concerned about is starting off on the wrong foot and having food carts directly across from the high school as the default, because that reduces our ability to open those conversations. Why would they talk to us if they already have everything they want? I think that this can be a perfect chance for us to engage in those conversations with businesses. Like we said, like we've been saying the whole time, if the Montagues want to sell fish and chips at a football game, that's awesome. I live right across from the high school. Personally, I would be a giant fan of that. And I just think that if we're going to engage in those substantive conversations later on down the road, we need to be coming at it from a place of compromise. And we feel like this 500-foot limit is that compromise.
I guess I just need the school district to weigh in on the record here. So I appreciate those comments. I'm a big fan of free school meals for all. But if you said, correct me if I'm wrong, you did say you were talking about closing campus. So is the school board's plan to close campus? Because that's a different conversation where the 500-foot setback would head if you're already closing campus anyway. So I guess I need to know that to help me make a decision.
And I apologize, I don't know you if you've been around our campus before, but for those of you that have been on campus, we have probably 25 exterior doors. And so our biggest concern with closing campus, and the thing that has made it the hardest, is how we actually monitor. So we really like rules that we can enforce, and that's hard. So we've been working together with Dr. Gray and our freshman success team to look at ways to mitigate those issues. We're not here today saying that we're closing school. We are in process of trying to determine whether or not it's possible that we have, you know, support of parents and stakeholders. So I have wanted to close campus for as long as I can remember for ninth graders. I don't feel like they have the decision-making skills to go off campus. It's when we see our biggest number of dropouts, our biggest number of students that are truant, but we have quite a few facility challenges. So that's the best I can do for you today.
Okay, thanks.
I'd like to speak to that issue as well. If you could.
We were asked not to cover materials that we had already provided to you, but I do want to point out that Exhibit 8 that we provided to the Planning Commission. The last paragraph on page one of that exhibit says, 2018-19 was the last school year for which we have regular statistics. Newport High School's participation rate in the lunch program was 27%. This is for an open campus with food options directly across the street. This was when the Cubs Cave was still open, which would be a similar situation to having a food cart across the street. Walport High, Toledo Junior Senior High, and Taft 712's participation rates were 60%, 72%, and 50% respectively. In those areas, there is an open campus, but there are limited choices close by and no options across the street. Participation in all of these schools is higher than Newport High School. The other higher participating schools carry or subsidize Newport High School because they have the lowest participation in the district. Participation increased to 40% from 27% to 40% during COVID because there was a completely closed campus and no other options. Each 5% reduction in participation represents only 7 meals. A 5% reduction is only 7 meals a day. A 10% reduction brings it to only 17% participation and represents a loss of only 14 meals per day. But as shown below, Newport High School meal service already falls short of break-even by about 100 meals per day, 2,000 meals a month. The school is already being subsidized by participation at the other schools. And there's a chart, there's a breakdown of some of the costs. It's showing how many meals that we're already subsidizing. Additionally, breakfast participation increased from 13% to 28% during COVID.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
There's additional data in that.
Yeah, if you'd second like to that. Read
that. And Councillor Govil.
What does that represent in financial loss to the district?
I don't have those specific numbers.
But it's significant.
Councillor Botel Salgado.
I'm sorry, what was that?
Hold on, I have a question.
Maybe I misheard what you said then.
Okay. So you don't have that answer?
I don't have that specific answer, no.
But the food carts would reduce your in-house meals by 27%, is that what you said?
Sorry, I'll get back to it. The participation when we had competition across the street for the lunch program was only at 27%. So that means 75% of the kids were not participating in the lunch program.
75%?
75% were not participating.
Okay.
73. And a 5% reduction in participation, that's only 7 meals. It only takes 7 meals to reduce it another 5%. We're already very low.
Yeah, okay. Thank you. I support your efforts in this, and I really think it's important that we protect our children. My granddaughter's going to go to high school there next year. She's in a closed campus, not Newport Middle School, and I would hate for her to be roaming around town, you know, looking for something to eat or off campus. I have the same concerns as stranger danger and all this other drugs and everything else that's out there. And not that food carts are a convenient place to find your drugs, but it could go to that, you know. So I'm just I'm concerned. And you mentioned closing campus for the ninth and tenth grade. I'm not sure that I disagree with that. I think it's those kids are pretty young still, you know, and they don't know what they're doing most of the time. So bravo to you guys. I think the food cart thing, and it's not a loss to the city. I mean, there's plenty of places within the city that food carts can go, and I like the concept of what you said about, ball games and after school programs, and I would even hope that the kids, like Beatrice said, would get an entrepreneurial spirit and open a food cart, maybe even on campus, you know. So, I mean, that would be, maybe that's a program that a school district could offer.
I think that'd be great, and given the opportunity, that's something I would absolutely push that we look into.
Yeah.
I think that's a great idea.
Councilor Mateo Salgado.
And I have a, now I know your name, Linsenmeyer. Sorry. Are you approaching just the city of Newport, or are you approaching all around, all the schools around Lincoln County for these 500 feet?
It would only be for the city of Newport, because that's the only ordinance change that I know of and have been retained to fight for. So at this time, it is just for the city of Newport. If other school districts choose to fight proposed legislation one way or another, that's something that I may be retained for. I just don't know at this point.
That's a pertinent question that Councilor Beteo brings up, because they're building a six-cart pod in Taft right now within short driving distance from the high school. So I just was curious if the city, Lincoln City, had weighed in on whether or not their rules, or if you'd reach out to them about the setback, because I would imagine the district would want to be, you know, even in its recommendations of policy around the district.
Sure, that might be the case. I'm not entirely positive. I was only retained for this action. I think that's something that I'd be really interested to look into. Right now, I just can't give you an answer on their stance on that.
Were you done?
And I have another question. My last question is, I talked to one of the persons who does the food truck. So he said sometimes the staff orders food, you know, it's not from the student, it's coming from more from the staff. So how do you want to manage with that? I mean, if the person, if somebody, a staff from the school order food, are you plan to stop that? Or, I mean, you are going to restrain that? If somebody said, you know, maybe a principal, the principal decided to order some food, some tacos, you know, or maybe pizza, I don't know, or fish and chips. So, so are you are not going to allow the person to bring orders from the school, the staff? Or, I mean, how are you going to work with that? Because that's something that I heard from the food truck person.
We had a great partnership last year on no school days, and we loved having that available to our staff, but it was on no school days, not during, you know, the school hours where students were on campus. So, you know, just like any restaurant in town, we unfortunately take deliveries, and so that would not be any different for us. But as far as, you know, our staff actually would, we went outside when we were getting it and ordered directly. But again, that was on a no school day when staff was here for professional development only.
Councilor Collette.
For the other councilors, that exhibit 8 is on page 569 of 614. I was trying to find that. And thank you for that data. That was very helpful. It was actually what we were asking for. It puts it in a lot of perspective. And I can say this because my child is a senior. I also think, you know, closed campus is not the end of the world. I don't know if they still do it, but in Albany, it was closed all 4 years. Maybe the flip side is use it as more of a carrot than a stick. If if your grades are up and you've got good attendance, you can get a pass to get off campus or something like that.
So. We have great plans. We just need the time to actually meet.
Well, good luck.
Those.
They're not going to like it no matter
what.
No,
they won't.
But thank you again for that data. That was very helpful and concise and telling. I mean, we have a good data point showing there was food close by and a relatively analogous situation in other towns with very different numbers, so it's useful.
I'm going to ask some questions of Derek. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
The ordinance, as it's stated, is saying that the pods would only be on the Bayfront or in Nye Beach, right?
The way the ordinance
or
is...
Or they would be the opposite of that. That's what I'm saying.
Correct. On private property outside of Nye Beach and the Bayfront, on commercial, industrial, or water-related, you know, properties owned, okay? Outside the Bayfront or Nye Beach, you have the option of doing a pod, which is four or more, which then means you connect to sewer, permanent power, all of that stuff. Or you could, you know, lease a vacant lot to one, two, or possibly three food trucks, which would then, you know, tend to be your walk-up at that point kind of set up. In the Bayfront and Nye Beach, on private property, it's pods only.
Yeah, I think, I know we talked about this the last meeting. I'm more concerned about the premium of, like, space in those areas that I don't know if that's really conceivable. I actually think outside of that is more conceivable. So not anything to do with the schools. It's more of that piece of it. It's like, I'm not sure where would that live? Like, where could we even put four, you know, carts in Nye Beach that wouldn't be a huge traffic snarl or on the Bayfront? So I'm trying to think of, like, how can we... I want to...
A lot of open space in Nye Beach.
It'd have to be private property, right?
We're talking about private property here.
On Coast Street, there's vacant properties all along Coast Street.
It'd be on a private property.
It'd be on private property.
But that's zoned.
Yes. So you got some... You've got tourist commercial zone property along Coast Street, you know, by the bead shop there, you have some vacant property on both sides, actually,
okay,
at this point.
I see what you're saying. Okay.
So you do have some properties. You got some properties off Cliff, too.
The parking's still, like, a huge issue already in Nye Beach, so that's why I'm trying to figure out, like, okay. And then I have one other thing. Oh, what was the other thing? Oh. The gentleman from Pig and Pancake mentioned the whole thing about, like, the car could, like, go forward, and then they have a cone and a watcher, and, like, someone could pull back. But we haven't really even seen many of those 15 minutes, like, move around carts, right? I haven't seen those in town, really.
Yeah, the existing kind of move every 15 minutes is kind of an archaic provision that harkens back to your traditional kind of ice cream truck that's going through a neighborhood. Those, you know, the limited amount of, you know, food truck, I think we have a couple of operators that operate down in the Bayfront. That, you know, they're not moving every 15 minutes.
Right.
It's just not a workable ordinance. Certainly every 2 hours, that is quite workable. And the 2 hours is not arbitrary. The 2 hours actually syncs up with the Oregon Health Authority administrative rules, which say that if they're there longer than 2 hours, they would have to provide restroom facilities for their employees. And so that's near impossible for us to be able to enforce. So it's just like, okay, let's just go with 2 hours. Then we don't have to worry about it, whether or not they're within 500 feet of a restroom. They can operate basically, you know, anywhere at that point, subject to the other limitations we've been talking about.
I think that's I just think that detail is a little, like, I get the ice cream truck piece, but I do feel like the code enforcement thing, just we don't have the ability to really, like, put any teeth behind that. So I, even if someone were to call and complain and say, like, they are just here 15 minutes and they move back one spot or something, we don't have the infrastructure to follow that, you know, follow that complaint through, other than to maybe sanction them, you know, or assess a fine of, like, their business operations, right?
Yeah, I think, you know, what you're dealing with there is, you know, I guess eventually they could be at risk of losing their business license for chronic violations. And we can certainly look to tighten up things on that side. But, again, it's a complaint basis based on available resources. I don't know that I have anything else I can offer on that.
Yeah, on that, Derek, I think the way forward on the mobile vending thing is, do they comply with the ordinance if it is passed? And if they do... Yeah. When they're issued that mobile vending permit, there are clear, short, concise instructions on what a mobile vending permit allows and what it does not. And I think that's all we really need to provide that business owner that applies for this permit. And then they're already set up to succeed. They know what they're boxed in to do and not do.
Councilor Goble, then Councilor Collette.
So, Derek, the interesting question came up today about the city center, why it isn't and also part of the study as far as the Nye Beach and the Bayfront. I mean, with the traffic study that we're doing now and trying to and we're working hard to beautify the downtown and make it more vibrant. And is that something that we should include into this ordinance?
It's something you could include if you want. I mean, it's just, if you wanted to add the city center area and treat it the same as Nye Beach and the Bayfront, that did not get raised at the Planning Commission level. The concerns came in from related to the Bayfront and the Nye Beach area because of the level of congestion that's there. That same level of congestion isn't typically something that we deal with in the city center area. I mean, we've had these conversations in the context of parking in the past. They are a little bit different. That said, you certainly could say, hey, look, we're going to treat city center nonetheless the same. And thus, what you do is basically say pods only there as well, and then designate 4 floating spaces for food trucks and food carts, just like you did for Night Beach and the Bayfront.
I think that's a good idea, especially now. I mean, if we do a good job and with our traffic plan and our future investment in that core area, I think they should have the same protection as Night Beach and the Bayfront. Yeah.
I'd rather it be the same citywide. In those overlay zones, I think that I want people operating these cars to have success and have the same expectations around town. Yeah. So, I'd be in favor of that change.
I think the only downside on that you might want to consider is there's more private property opportunities in the city center than you would have in Nye Beach and the Bayfront. So that, for those that are looking to do a lease on a private property just for a single food truck, they'd have a better shot at finding a site that's workable in the city center than they would in the Bayfront and Nye Beach. And so that would pinch them if that limitation was put in place, because then it would be pods only in the city center area.
Of all the places in town that are struggling the most, it's probably the city center folks,
Councillor Klett, will you yield for just a moment? Councillor Jacoby would like to make comments by phone.
Sure.
Okay, Councillor Jacoby. Do you hear? I don't hear. go ahead, and then we'll just check and see if she's going to join us. So, maybe it's a mute issue.
So on the mobile cart and the complaint, maybe to help with enforcement, when we issue a license, there should be a, if you have X number of violations where you are, you're just moving one space, or you keep getting, maybe you lose your license for a year or something if they're a repeat offender. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we could put teeth like that in the license, or is that even just more enforcement issue to hassle with? So I guess someone would have to track that somehow.
Those things are trackable, and I think you would end up tracking it at some point. We have the ability, I believe. I'd have to go back and take a look at our business license rules, but there's undoubtedly some mechanism there for us to be able to revoke a business license for somebody who's a repeat offender. And if not, that's an appropriate thing we would want to put in place, not just for food trucks and food carts, but anybody who is chronically violating the terms of their business license.
Agreed.
So, but to Councillor Parker's point, there are clear and objective standards in the draft code that would be straightforward enough for us to put on a sheet of paper that goes on with their endorsement, so they have explicitly what the terms of operation are.
Sounds like Cynthia's ready.
Yep. Councillor Jacoby.
Oh, thank you. Yes, can you hear me?
We can.
Okay. I'd like to thank the Planning Commission and everyone who has presented their testimony on this subject. And I have been making notes here. I do have a few thoughts, concerns to share. I think we need to be really sure about the best place for the placement of these food carts. I do have a concern about putting them in the Nye Beach turnaround. For one, there will be some exhaust and some noise and some blocking of the view. And I wonder if a better place might be up on Coast Street where those vacant lots are. I don't know if that's a viable issue or not, but they are fairly close to public restrooms. I think we could consider that spot above the Nye Beach turnaround to be a better location. I also am concerned about respecting our existing businesses, especially the ones we've heard from tonight. They they have had a pretty hard go of it, and we need to really keep them in mind also. And I wonder about having a designated pod in the city center area. This has been brought up a few times. Would the pods be like permanently parked there all year, or would the trucks kind of come and go, like if they wanted to leave to go to an event or something? Is that what would happen? Does anyone know?
Yeah, Derek can take that question.
Yeah, that's really depends upon how somebody chooses to set up a pod, and whether or not the food carts that are effectively tenants of the pod need to stay there on an ongoing basis, or they can transition in and out. My suspicion is that they would choose to do the latter to provide some flexibility, but that really is a decision of the private property owner and the operator who's kind of setting up the pod.
Okay. I also had another thought about this, too. If we could write into the ordinance to have a sunset date, just in case this does not work out for some reason. I don't know. Have we given any thought to that? I just put that out there.
You have the capacity to do that. Another way to approach that could be a requirement that it be brought back for a report back within a period of time for you to kind of reassess it without sunsetting it. I mean, you can do either, but that's not in the ordinance at this point in time.
Correct, yeah. Well, I think some kind of reassessment at 1 year and 2 years, especially for the placement of the permanent pods, would be valuable. So I would like to see us discuss that. And I also want to say that I do support the school board's position.
Councilor Jacoby, can you repeat that last sentence?
Yeah, I didn't hear it either.
Oh, I would support the school board's position.
The school district, okay.
500-foot
yep.
restriction.
Councilor Goble, but at the same time, I'm also going to ask Chief Malloy to come up to the microphone, if you will, and just kind of give some comment after Councilor Goble on what code enforcement would look like for some of these roving pods, potentially, or trucks. Yeah.
Hey, Cynthia, my only concern with the sunset or the review is that this ordinance, people are going to make a substantial investment into these mobile carts or push carts or whatever. And then if we all of a sudden just take it away, I mean, that would be a problematic for me. So if we could get just a report back in a year, that'd be fine from Spencer, see how it's going. And then if we want to make any tweaks, but to try to sunset it would be problematic.
Yeah, just one further comment on that as well. Under the ordinance, it envisions private developers building pods with restrooms and with a shelter, where there would be four or more units. Once a private developer does that, it's a difficult thing for us to go backwards on those sorts of issues because there's been an investment made for that purpose. But Derek, do you want to speak about that at all?
Yeah, I could because, at the end of the day, if a pod is authorized, in the way this is structured, that's a land use decision, and if it's the approval's implemented, then that's a use right that runs with the land. If we try to take it away, then it becomes non-conforming. That operator gets to continue. The change would apply to the establishment of new pods elsewhere moving forward. So that's how that would work.
Okay, I will yield on that. Just a thought. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Councilor Jacoby. Chief Malloy, if you'd just talk a little bit about what that code, back to that code enforcement question that came up earlier.
Sure. So ultimately, all of our ordinances have an enforcement section, and how we handle enforcement with the police department is generally at the direction of the council/city. And so whether it is an educational component that we do, whether it's a voluntary component, voluntary compliance, we usually take our direction at the city. We always have the option of enforcement. With most of our ordinances, our goal is voluntary compliance. When we don't get that, then we have the ability to issue fines. In our business code, which Derek alluded to a little bit earlier, does have a section where ultimately the city manager can revoke a business license for any business that fails to follow local, state, federal guidelines. And so if we have a business that's operating illegally, and we've done this a few times where we have sent a letter revoking somebody's license, and you'd be amazed how quick people turn that around once their license is revoked. So, you know, with this, because it is a new ordinance, our recommendation or our suggestion would be to handle the voluntary compliance and go with the educational component. But when we do have a repeat offender or violations and the compliance isn't working, then we go to enforcement. And if that doesn't work, revocation. So, and then there's a lot more legalities involved in the steps after that involving the city attorney and state courts, but we don't need to get into that. So the answer is yes, there is, whether there says there's an enforcement component, you know, unlike our short-term rental, which is very specific on how it's gonna be followed, how it's gonna be enforced, things like that. This one doesn't need it. So the code already allows for it.
Thank you. Councilor Goble.
I'm ready to make a motion if you're.
Great. You
want. Oh, hang on.
Oh, Councilor Mateo Salgado, then Councilor Parker, and then motion. How about that?
No, that's fine with me.
Okay.
Chief Malov, can I ask you, when they called you, that usually is because people recognize exactly where deceptions are to sell or not to sell. I mean, because we are talking about the education piece, but it can be maybe the person who calls or maybe the person who is with the truck there in that location. Maybe the person didn't understand that they shouldn't be there, or maybe the person who called didn't know that it's okay to stay there.
So we respond to all the complaints, and sometimes it's misunderstanding, sometimes it is a lack of knowledge. We had them in this summer. We had a few mobile vendors that popped up that were not authorized. One stop on a, you know, you can't be here, and they moved, you know, or actually stopped operating, actually went to a different city. So, you know, that worked out. It really doesn't matter who calls. We can see it for ourselves. Somebody can call. We can get an anonymous complaint. You know, regardless of what it is, it just, as staffing allows, we're going to respond. We're going to investigate, and it could be as simple as a very simple question, or it's a very simple violation, and we're going to deal with it. So it really doesn't matter how we get there, but we will get there.
Thank you.
I think it was.
Are you ready?
Parker,
you
no,
before
Councilor
you
Parker.
Move, I want to say
yes.
Something.
Yes. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I very much want to support young families and people new to the area that want to start food carts, and as long as they comply with city code, I'm not going to stand in the way of keeping people from living their dream and providing culinary diversity to the city and to the county generally, because so many people in the county come here to shop. I'm not in favor of the 500-foot setback, but that is a separate beast in of itself. I still support this economic development option for people, and I'll probably be in favor of the motion, but I don't like the way that the setback thing has been presented, and I'm not in favor of that. However, I would support a motion that allows food carts to be updated into the city code and start that new chapter of new businesses for the city of Newport.
Spencer.
Yeah, at this point, the council has had a lot of comment during the public hearing. We've seen extensive materials from the Planning Commission, and the council can take one of several actions tonight. One would be to move the recommended motion, which would basically approve the ordinance as currently written, and then we'll be dealing with the resolution as a separate issue that talks specifically about how many local places are available in the restricted areas, which we'll be talking about if this motion passes first. The second option the council has is the council could, if you want more public comment, you could continue the public hearing at the next meeting and continue obtaining feedback on this issue before you make a decision. The third option is you could close the public hearing, but defer decisions into the next meeting if you wanted us to look at any particular components of it. So those are really the options that the council has at this point in the discussion.
Senator, for clarification, are you saying that we could vote on the motion and then we could hammer out in the resolution discussion about the, okay, if pods are only limiting them to just Nye Beach or just the, or just Nye Beach and the Bayfront, that's when we would hammer out those details?
If the ordinance
if it passes.
Yeah, if the ordinance passes, the ordinance is specific to pods only, limited to pods only in Nye Beach and the Bayfront. So the city center question would not be addressed as part of that issue, as part of that. The resolution is something that very narrowly defines where the public spaces could be utilized in Nye Beach, the Bayfront, and dealing with the vending booths or the large trucks at the Nye Beach turnaround and the Bayfront is in the current draft of the resolution. But the resolution is dealing with a much narrower issue, and that's the public placement of food carts either on streets or on public property in specifically the Bayfront, Nye Beach, or I think that's it, isn't it?
Oh,
correct.
Yeah. I have a question on your comment. So say we move to accept this motion and we pass a resolution also. Could we amend the ordinance at some later date to include the city center?
The council can amend an ordinance, but it's a land use decision, and I think that would be a land use decision, Derek. I'll have you respond.
Would. If you have one or two very targeted changes that you would like to see, I think you can do that by motion and direct that those changes be made to the ordinance as long as it's expressly clear what changes you're asking us at staff to make. For example, in the context of what you're talking about, city center, if you want to limit city center private properties to pods only, and then in the resolution establish a number of spaces in public rights of way like Nye Beach and the Bayfront where you could have a food truck, then when you make the motion to approve the ordinance with, you'd want to say you'd want to approve the ordinance with that specific change being made.
And we'd have to have the specific language according to code for the amendment. So it's if they're going to actually approve it tonight, they have to have the specific language.
Where's our city attorney tonight?
And, well, I can tell you exactly what he would
Shana
tell
Tava,
you.
Everyone.
What I'm telling you right now is we have to read the specific amended language into the record.
Right. And
that's part of the approval motion, which
that's fair. Well, if you're inclined to do that, that's a target enough change. I can make it. And if you want to defer this to later in the agenda and then pick up your deliberation at that point, I can have the amended ordinance back in front of you with that specific language, if that's what you want. If you would rather,
I would prefer to do it tonight.
Could do that tonight.
So I could just pop back in my office, meetings, make the changes, and have copies distributed to the council, if that works for you, Spencer.
Yeah, I think that's fine as long as we can read the specific language that's changed into the record as part of the approval process.
I'll highlight it so you have it.
Yep.
Let's get this behind us. I don't want to go up for another meeting. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So I think we're agreeing that we do want to push this just to a little later in the agenda with some updated and amended language. Councilor Mateo Salgado.
Question. So is this one, the city center would be only for food carts, the pots, or in general?
What I'm hearing you say is you would like language added to the ordinance that treats the city center exactly like we're treating Nye Beach and the Bayfront. What that translates to is that for private property in the city center area, they would be limited to pods only. Within public rights of way or on public property, you would be designating by resolution the designated vending areas, which as it stands now, what's proposed for Nye Beach and the Bayfront is four floating spaces
for food trucks or food carts. That's what I would add to the resolution for City Center as well. So there will be changes to the ordinance for your consideration and to the resolution.
Yeah, the resolution is much simpler for us to change. The ordinance is not. So
you can get that done here.
I can do that. That's a targeted change. I know the provisions that need to be amended.
Let's do it. Let's get it done tonight.
And do we have a definition for City Center?
Yes, it's the third and only other defined parking district. So I would be referring to the same section of code.
And what area does that cover?
I'll have a map. You can take a look at it.
Okay.
But we would be limited to the area as it's currently defined.
Right.
I saw a hand from the audience, but we have closed the public comment period. I'm sorry, but
continue until the end of the meeting.
Yeah, we will very likely take a break in a moment, and then you could discuss at that time. I do want to just say I think we're moving away from the piece. Like, I think we're agreeing with the ordinance as it is, although we haven't taken votes yet around the 500 feet away from the school. And I am the presiding council president tonight, so I'm not really supposed to make comment, but I think a really compelling argument is the ability to afford going to a food cart every day or going to Starbucks is a privileged conversation that I think is really relevant. And there is a very clear inequity in terms of income disparity in our community, and it is why free and reduced, you know, meals are out there. So just as someone who didn't have money and grew up with people who had money, it was a very hard situation to, you know, be in as the person who didn't have money. And I think it really sets up very much a haves and have nots. And I think that's a very compelling argument for that this is essentially an equity issue. I think when you look at it, I mean, I love food carts, they're fun. I think there's a real challenge in terms of who can afford to do that. And it becomes very obvious very quickly.
So. Yeah, I think one thing that would help for clarity for everyone that's here, unless they want to spend some more quality time with us.
Oh, don't you?
But
what?
What I would suggest is kind of an informal motion be made so that everyone in the room understands where we're going with this. And I think that motion would be something to the effect that the City Council direct staff to develop an amendment to bring back at the end of the council meeting for consideration addressing City Center and otherwise that their support for the ordinance as presented by the Planning Commission.
So moved. Good motion.
Okay, so we captured that, and that Councillor Goebel officially forwarded that motion, and Councillor Parker seconded it. So can we proceed?
Yeah, so you can vote on that.
Right, but can we do the voice motion. Vote on that, or do we have to wait till later? We're just doing a formal
vote. Yeah. Motion on
that. Because that's just directing us to take this next step.
Okay, so all in favor of, as directed by City Manager Spencer Niebel to Councillor Goebel.
Did you get that, Patty? That motion?
They will get it in the minutes. We have, recorded. With our limited staffing, we are now having contract minutes done, so they will
okay,
compile that. So,
all in favor of that motion?
Aye.
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 Thank you, Councillor Jacoby. It was unanimous. Yeah. Any opposed? Moving. Motion passes. Are we good to pause so this
coming,
point?
We're going
to come back for review
at the end of the meeting.
So we'll take a break and we will resume on the sharp at 8 p.m.
And understand Derek won't have language until the end of the meeting, so we'll be moving on to other agenda items.
We'll move on to the next public hearing at 8 p.m.
Thanks for the good testimony tonight too.
I'm under the gun. I can do this. This is a targeted change. I'm glad that they closed the Cubs page because that was just a big junk food mess.
You called them on it.
The argument